Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Yeah, I'm Mark.
I'm Jordan.
We're Neil Francis, the two
of
us.
Yeah, we got you 2012-ish, sort of, kind of. 2012 is when you guys, is that when you originally ran into each other?
Originally ran into each other, yes. Not necessarily working
Didn't
on this project.
Didn't form Neil Francis yet.
No.
But you ran into each other.
Yeah.
You got your vocals on some of the demos. That was the 2012 thing, right?
So the 2012 thing, I was in a band called American Royalty.
American Royalty.
Yeah.
You have to say it that way, too.
American,
that was American Royalty.
Royalty.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice. I like American Royalty.
And so we brought him in.
You needed a beat or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we worked together in the studio. I think that Jordan and I both kind of clicked. It was a moment of kind of one of the, you know, recognizing a peer.
But you weren't ready yet.
Weren't ready. We're focused on our own things. We were not thinking at all that we would be forming anything together anytime soon. But then, you know, four years later.
Yep. So you got your Sydney. You got your Rancho Cucamonga.
Uh-huh.
See, now I know Rancho Cucamonga because I watched Warner Brothers cartoons.
Uh-huh.
And there was like a stop in one of the Bugs Bunny things. I'm like, Rancho Cucamonga.
Exactly.
First EP, 2018, some singles, and then now, here we are. Mark, we got an opera singer, you know, in the family, a dad. We got your mom with Jazzercise, right? We've got cross-cultural. We got all that stuff. And Jordan. Jordan, we got your hip-hop growing up and a lot of DJing in Sydney and disco is not bad and et cetera, et
cetera. Disco is not bad. Disco does not suck.
Is there anything you really feel that you took away from growing up where you grew up?
It's an interesting question because being Australian, I was actually far more influenced by American culture than my own. And that's why I was, without realizing it, when I did get into the creative space and was making music, I always had the idea of I have to get out of Sydney and go somewhere, go to like the I guess the big leagues, you know. I'll tell you what did influence me a lot without, now that I really think about it. So like previous to kind of leaving school, which is when I was younger, I was very much into rap music. But when I left school, I then started to get out of the bubble that I lived in for the first time in my life and like experience nightclubs and club culture. And that taught me a lot. A particular crew of DJs completely expanded my taste in music. Before that, I was more or less all like rap music and beats and stuff, and then maybe from time to time some house music. But these guys played electro and 80s as well as like tough club records. And one DJ in particular, who's no longer with us unfortunately, but was just a huge influence, was like, he had this mishmash of styles where he'd bring in everything.
And then there's LA. So growing up, when you grew up here, what was, I mean, 90s?
Yeah.
What was really, what was happening in the 90s?
I think that early on I was influenced by my parents' taste in music. So there was like, you know, Doobie Brothers, Chicago, that type of kind of, I guess, yacht rocky
so
stuff.
What do you take away from that?
From that music?
Yeah.
I think there's a, especially with those two bands I just mentioned, there's like a lot of musicality. And there's some great hooks. They're pop songs in a lot of ways.
Are you a band? Or are you a burrito? Are you a duo? Is this a band?
We're a project. I think we're a duo. We're a project. And the band is when we expand in the land of the grand with our two friends, Rhythm. Yeah. Rhythm and Greg Cham. We usually use the word band when we're talking about
playing
live with our guys. Yeah.
Okay. So you get together 4 years later and you look at each other and you look at what's out there. What did you say? Was there any discussion when you launched in to start making stuff?
There was 100% a discussion, and it's you could probably track down the email. It wasn't, we are going to be this. This is the type of music we're going to make. It's, we want to write some pop tunes. Hey, Mark, I can do this. I can make the tracks and the beats and the everything, you know. And you can sing over them. And we're going to write these things. And we're going to have, we're going to, So silly. It's so stupid. We're gonna like sell them or like give them to some pop singer, preferably a girl. I mean, we weren't even doing it for a living. We had no idea what we were doing. It was just, I think that what happened was Jordan and I both were a little bit burnt out on making music in other ways. And it was just kind of for me, to be honest, Jordan, it was kind of a throwaway, like, yeah, sure, I'll sing over the top of your things. He sent me something. I probably spent like, you know, an hour listening to the three songs, singing some, the first ideas that came to my head, sent them back. We struck two of them. No?
I went down to your house at Rancho in your dad's office, and we sat there and we did the vocals for Back to What I Know, or at least the ghost track for Back to What I Know, and a couple of others, and we're doing them in there on literally a microphone like this.
So here's that word, hooks. They're everywhere in this stuff. They're there in the beats. They're there in the riffs. They're there in the choruses. Because you don't leave a hook behind on anything, on any section of anything you do.
Yeah. Well, Dennis, we're trying to write pop music. I mean, that is literally our objective. We sit down, we say, we're going to write some pop music today. And we begin writing. Whether at the end of the day we end up with a pop song or some weird, obscure indie B-side that has, like, you know, some sample.
But it's your intent in a world where people would go, really? Why?
Yeah, yeah. I think.
Why would you do that, man, when you could just, like, do a 22-minute, you know, thing that never, ever gets to any sort of bridge?
I spent the first 7 years of my musical career doing that. I was a DJ before I was a house music, techno music DJ, and my
you got tired of boom 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 boom.
I create on my own, and I got tired of like a niche set of people that I'm always trying to appeal to. And I feel like if we can cover each other's weaknesses, being he sings, I make the tracks, stick it together, it becomes a whole other thing that's more interesting to me, or at that point was more interesting to me than just sitting there writing the same thing over and over again.
And did you have any idea, and I'm being rhetorical here purposely, that this was going to be a good time for this music, that Tame Impala, that Jungle? But you do talk about it being coming from a real place and having a moment in time and something to hang it on. How do you balance that? How do you make sure that it's pop music and the hooks happen, but you still can fold in responsibility and real life and other stuff?
I'm not sure I want to split it so cleanly in this way, but in a sense, it's kind of like the melody's pop and the lyrics are not necessarily. The lyrics need to mean something. For me personally, having been on tours, having played in bands for, you know, over a decade now, if I'm going to be up on stage and singing these words every night, I really need to feel them it like deep down, or else I'm going to completely be
going to hate your job,
jaded and hating my life. Yeah. So that's kind of, I've literally had that thought where we're midway through writing something and I'm thinking to myself, like, I need to know what this is about,
this,
or
yeah,
else I'm not going to be able to sing it on stage, you know. So
when picking samples and stuff, I don't premeditate too often. And I also, like, I have this thing where after doing this for 10 years myself on the production side, if I'm thinking, I generally get in my way. So I try to get to a point where when I'm working on the tunes, there's generally like a 2 or 3 hour window between the two of us, where it's exciting and it's obviously new for the first time because it's in that portion of time, and I try and get as much out of myself and Mark during that period as we can, because that's when the idea is the freshest. And doubling back to the sampling side of things, I never like to think, it sounds backwards, but I never like to think when I'm producing, because the moment I start thinking, I'm in my own way, and I just want to, like, stream of consciousness, keep
so you kind of grab
going.
Something, you manipulate it, you play with it, and you go, yeah, that works,
that feels good, yep, next,
and you move on from, yep, there. You don't overthink it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because,
but I do, that said, I do have like a folder that when I'm listening to music, I always have a folder that I'm like, I'll throw that in the sample folder. If I'm ever there at the studio and I am in a bit of a rut, I can go in there and be like, I can just grab that, throw that in.
Yeah, but Everybody Dance Now is taken.
That's true. Is it though? Somebody sampled that?
Yeah, it's been taken. I'm sorry. What is the filter for a Neil Francis track? How do the two of you know? You've got something, you're working it, you're messing with it. How do you know it's actually going to be your track and it's going to work?
Quite literally me, yeah. Well, no, not to be a schmarmy dickhead, not really, but also kind of. Again, doubling back to the DJ side of things, I've done that my whole life. DJing for, like, when I was in college, I was playing 6 hours a night at a bar, so you just listen to so much music and you're constantly searching for so much music because you don't want to play the same thing over and over and over and over again. And that, like, process of watching what certain music does with people, I don't know, it kind of looks like you get into your DNA, you know?
A sixth sense to a certain extent. Yeah, maybe. Knowing. So then what about the ones you throw away and you go, but I love this, but I know it's just not good.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's been a lot of those.
Right? More than not, probably.
I'll tell you another funny thing. When our bass player likes it a lot, I know it's not right.
What about, like, for example, like this new single that I played that, again, Hooks. Oh, my God. Just, like, I'm in the show going, someone. But using other vocals, bringing other, you know, this is a time-honored thing to a point where you're like, okay, Fat Boy. Okay, Moby. Okay. Kanye, stop already. But it is a thing. Yeah. But you did make a choice to do this in certain cases. So how did you know?
I think that we've kind of, from the beginning of this project, been really open to the idea of working with all types and different types of people and bringing people on tracks. We, you know, this kind of goes back to the idea of Jordan being a bit of the team captain. Is for me, I feel a lot freer when I don't necessarily think I'm going to be singing on every track. And I feel like it kind of has opened up more of a creative freedom. So the whole idea of Neil Francis being just me and my voice is not what I'm looking for. I suffocate under that pressure of, like, trying to, you know, be the voice and have the identity of, and like express that. So I think we kind of agreed early on. It's like, we're going to collaborate with people. We're going to be writing pop music. And that's what kind of led to this, where we're at.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside. Uh-huh. And then on the inside, you get to pick anything you want.